1 Corinthians chapter 16 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Find your place there in the pages of God's Word. One night, a hillbilly's wife. Now, when I say hillbilly, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm meaning somebody from West Virginia. There's hillbillies from North Carolina, too. All right, so don't let your mind go there. All right. So one night, a hillbilly's wife went into labor, and he sent for the doctor. These folks lived so far back in the woods, they didn't have any electricity. Doctor prepared for the delivery of the baby. He said to the hillbilly, he said, "Here, hold this lantern so I can see what I'm doing." And just about that time, a cute little baby girl was born. And doctor said, "Whoa, don't be so fast with that lantern. I see another one coming." And sure enough, here came a little boy. Just as the hillbilly was about to put the lantern aside, the doctor once again sounded off. "Wait a minute, I see another one." And the hillbilly nervously said, "Doctor, do you think it's the light that's attracting them?" I thought that was good for Father's Day. 1 Corinthians 16, find your place there if you would please. Verse number 13. As I watch what's going on in our society, more and more and more, I am impressed upon and burdened about the development of young boys becoming men. We're living in a feminized society. With the political correctness that's around in our day, it's almost, if you're a man, you're bad. I told my son last night, we were having a Father's Day meal. My kids had took me out for Father's Day and was spending time with me, for which I was thankful. And I said to my son, I said, "Son, don't ever apologize for being a man. For being what God made you." Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. "Watch ye." That means to be vigilant. Stand fast in the faith. "Quit you like men." Now, when we think of the word quit, we think stop. Stop being something. But actually, there was a time when the word quit in the English language meant to be. Literally, what God is saying here is be a man. Be men. And I believe that God is saying that today in our day, that we need to be men. To be the kind of men that God wants us to be. I remember reading a book by Charles Swindoll a while back, many years ago, called Growing Strong in Family Life. This was in the mid-90s. If that was, what he was saying was true then, I wonder how much more it is today. Here's what he said. He said, "Remember when men were men?" He said, "Remember when you could tell the difference by looking? Remember when men knew who they were, liked how they were, and didn't want to be anything but what they were? Remember when it was the men who boxed and wrestled and bragged about how much they could bench press? Remember when it was the women who wore the makeup and the toenail polish? Remember when it was the men who initiated the contact and took the lead in relationships, made lifelong commitments, treated women, a woman like a lady, and modeled a masculinity that displayed security and stability? We need fewer spineless wimps who never disentangle themselves from mama's apron strings, and more clear-thinking, hard-working, straight-talking men who, while tender, thoughtful, and loving, don't feel the need to ask permission for taking charge. How important it is that we would be men." He went on to say, "I'm convinced that most single ladies would love to have men like that to share time with. Wives would long to have men like that to share life with, and children especially like having dads like that." And I wholeheartedly agree with him. Don't apologize for being a man and being what God made you. God made me a man. He gave me a wife, and therefore I'm a husband. He gave me children, and therefore I'm a father. And I believe you'd agree with me that it's difficult to be a good man. It's even more difficult to be a good husband, but probably most difficult of all to be a good dad. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about manhood and being a man. Has a lot to say about being a husband and a father. You realize that fathers are of such importance in the Bible that they are mentioned 4 times more often than mothers. That's not minimizing the role of a lady and the importance of a wife and a mother in God's plan. But God knew that there would come a day in which there would be a pressure on our society for men to no longer be men, for men to no longer be leaders, for men to no longer be what God made them. And so God emphasized time and time and time again, fellas, that we should be the kind of men that God wants us to be. I believe God wants us to be faithful men. Wouldn't you agree with that? And I want to give you four areas today, very quickly this morning, that I believe will help us in this area of being faithful men. I want you to notice, first of all, if you're going to be a faithful man, there needs to be a divine call in your life. A divine call in your life. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And He saith unto him, Follow Me. And he arose and followed Him." You know, that's Matthew's testimony. In his gospel, he's giving the day that he heard the Master's call. He's giving the day that he was saved and relating how he became a Christian and how he became one of God's men and how he became a faithful man. He heard the Lord say, "Follow Me." And the Bible said he arose. Luke said, "And he left all and followed Him." Levi, as we look in our, he was called Levi in the other Gospels, and that was his old name. Matthew here uses his new name, the name the Lord gave him when he got saved. And aren't you glad that when you get saved, God makes you new? I'm glad the old me is gone, and the old me's passed, and I'm a new me, and I can be different in Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't have to be what I used to be. But Matthew was his new name. And you know what it means? Gift of God. Gift of God. You know what Matthew learned? He learned what every one of us need to know in our lives, that salvation is the gift of God. Can I tell you, salvation isn't something you do for God. It's not getting baptized. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not joining this church. It's not being the best man you can be. It's not any of that. It's knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. Hey, He's the man among men that went up Calvary's cross and bore our sin in His own sinless body, and there paid the penalty for your sin and my sin, so that we could know what it is to be saved and our sins forgiven, our name written in heaven, to have the joy of spending eternity with God. And friend, listen, I don't care if you're man, woman, teenager, it doesn't matter today. God wants you to be saved and receive His gift of eternal life and to know Him as Savior. Amen? But I'm here to tell you, you can never be a Christian man. You can never be a faithful man. Do you answer God's call to salvation, that divine call, and you determine to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and then follow Him with your life? Matthew made that decision. I'm glad for the day that I made that decision. And can I tell you, God wants you to make that decision today. Greatest thing you can give your family is a saved husband. Greatest thing you can give your children is a saved daddy. Greatest thing you can give our country is a saved man that wants to follow Jesus Christ. There's no better men in the world today than faithful men who want to live their lives for Jesus Christ. And you know what? I determined in my heart I want to be that kind of man. I want to be that kind of man, and I want to make a difference. You know, I don't know a man in this building that would want your children to spend eternity apart from God in a place called hell. I don't know anybody here. If I was to interview every man, and I would say, "Sir," and we were being serious, and I'd say, "Sir, would you want your children to spend eternity apart from God in hell?" There's probably not a man in here that would be to your desire. You would want them to go to heaven. Can I tell you, friend, listen, you cannot teach what you do not know. You can't lead people where you've never been. And friend, listen, if you want your children to be saved and you want them to know Jesus Christ and follow Him and live a different life than maybe what you've lived, then you need to give them a saved husband, a saved daddy, a saved man that wants to follow Jesus Christ and be an example in their life and show them the reality of Jesus Christ. And fellas, can I tell you, if we name the name of Jesus, we ought to be faithful men. Amen. Faithful men. God said, "Quit you like men. Be men." Listen about Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. You know, 65 years of Enoch's life, he didn't live for God. God gave him a son. And you know what? He realized it made such an impact in his life that he came to God. And it changed how he lived. And it changed the tenor and the direction of his life. And the Bible said he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And I want to tell you something. Hey, listen, don't wait till after God gives you a child. Start walking with God right now. But if God's given you that responsibility to determine, be the kind of man God wants you to be. Said of Abraham, "For I know him, that he'll command his children, his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment." And we could go on and on. So number one, have a divine call. You want to be a faithful man, God's kind of man. Number two, be a man of devout character. A man of devout character. There's a misconception of manhood. Too often, people measure manhood by the size of frame and strength of body. That's not how God measures manhood. Manhood is not size of frame and strength of body. It is size of heart and strength of character. That's what it is. Strength of character. To be a man of integrity, uprightness, and character. That is a prayer I pray every day of my life. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Daniel, a man of devout character. We're not going to be able to turn to all the passages, so I'm just going to read them to you. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. You know, here was a young man that was whisked away from family and society. He was taken captive by the Babylonian armies. He was brought to a pagan land by the name of Babylon. And there Daniel's character that he had determined in his life was put to the test. It was there that who he really was and all the other captives with him would really show up. Somebody said character is doing the right thing in the right way, at the right time, with the right attitude, and doing it that way all the time. Somebody else says character is what you would do if you knew no one would ever find out. And that's exactly where Daniel found himself in such a test. He was faced with a decision of whether he was going to obey God or a pagan king. You see, God, he was in a place where there was a diet change. And they changed his name. They had changed his where he lived. They had changed his culture and his education and everything. They were wanting to take these Jewish boys and make them Babylonians. That's what it was, a social engineering program. And part of that was a change in diet. And he was going to give them a portion of what was called the king's meat. That means he's going to eat what the king ate and a portion of the king's wine every day. Two problems with that. You say, preacher, hey, he's going to eat like a king. You're right, but here's two problems with it. Number one, he would drink intoxicating beverages, which was wrong for a Jewish man that was faithful to do. And by the way, let me just say it again, that's wrong for a Christian man in our day to do. I'm tired, sick, and tired of carnal, backslidden Christians who want to use the Bible and society as an excuse to disobey the clear teachings of the Word of God in our day. Now, I'll tell you what's wrong with our country, and it's probably good I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I tell you what's wrong with it's lily-livered preachers that won't get up and take a stand for God like they did a couple decades ago because they're afraid their paycheck depends on it, and afraid what people's going to think. And that's what's wrong with America. The pulpits have fallen silent about what's right and wrong and integrity and what's God's Word and God's will in our day. And I just determined that I loved the God and I love this church and I love you and my nation too much to be silent. I've determined I'm going to stand for what's right come what may. Just determined that in my own heart. Just determined it. And we need to live in a day when God's people will say, you know what, this is right. Amen. And do what's right. And listen, men, I want to challenge you. Listen, stand with me. Let's stand for God. Amen. Let's be different. We don't have to be like every other church. We can be different and honor God with our lives. And you know what Daniel determined? He laid it on his heart. He's going to be different. And that king's meat had been offered to a pagan idol, and it was wrong for him to do that. Nobody would see it. And listen, the pressure was he could lose his life. But he said, listen, honoring my God and being faithful is more important than me being alive. And he determined to do what was right in the face of danger and difficulty and hardship. And listen, men, God, there were going to be times that our character is going to be put to the test. And let's just determine we're going to do right. One great preacher of the past said, do right though the stars may fall. Do right. Do right. Character is more caught than taught. Carl grew up in a devout Jewish family. His father was a businessman. They moved to a different area of the city in which they lived. And he came home from school that day and his daddy announced at the dinner table that they were going to become Lutherans. A devout Jewish family, and they were going to become Lutherans. And Carl, just taken aback by that as a young Jewish boy, he said, Dad, he said, why in the world would we become Lutherans? And he said, because, son, it's good for business. It's good for business. Disillusioned. That young boy grew up to become an avowed atheist. That young man was Karl Marx, the founder of communism, the man who said this, that religion is the opiate of the for the masses. And I'm here to tell you, Karl Marx became disillusioned and became what he was because he had a dad that didn't know God and a dad who wasn't faithful to what's right, and a man with no integrity and no character. And men, listen, I just want us to be that kind of man, the man that has character. There was one dad talking to another dad one day, and he said, "I'm no model father." He said, "I just want to do the best I can." He said, "All I'm trying to do is behave so that when my people tell my son that he reminds him of me, he'll stick out his chest instead of his tongue." You know what a father does? He teaches kindness by being thoughtful and gracious even at home. He teaches patience by being gentle and understanding over and over. He teaches honesty by keeping his promises to his family even when it costs. He teaches courage by living unafraid with faith in all circumstances. He teaches justice by being fair and dealing equally with everyone. He teaches obedience to God's Word by precept and example, and reads and prays daily from the Bible with his family. He teaches love for God and His church as he takes his family regularly to all of the services, and his steps are important because someone is following. I thought a video and a message and a song couldn't fit together. Dad, I'm watching you. Grandpa, I'm watching you. Men with a divine call. Men with daring, with a devout character. Thirdly, very quickly, men with daring courage. I'm going to run out of time, so I'm just going to be hurt. I'm going to speak quickly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know them as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You remember this same Nebuchadnezzar, they had come with Daniel, and by the way, they had the same purpose in their heart that Daniel had in his. And these men were faced at the time. Daniel was probably in a different area of the kingdom on government business by this time. And this same wicked king got the idea that what he was going to do is make a golden image of himself and demand everybody bow down and worship it, because to worship that image was to worship him. Talk about a king full of himself. And so there came a day that he set up this great big golden image of himself in the plain of Dura. He brought all the aristocracy of Babylon down there to worship that image. And he said, "Now when you hear the sound of the music, I want you to bow down." So the music sounded, everybody's gathered out there, and suddenly the music sounds, and you guessed it, like one great wave. Buddy, everybody began to bow, except, you got it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I appreciate that Nebuchadnezzar went and he got those guys and brought them up here, because see, the punishment for not bowing was to be cast into the fiery furnace. And he said, he brought them guys up there, and he said, "Listen," he said, "I'm going to give you one more chance." He said, "Now all you got to do is just go out there and bow. That's all you got to do. I'm going to give you one more chance to do what I'm asking you to do. And if you don't, I'm going to burn you in this fiery furnace." That was his pastime, I guess, was burning people in furnaces. And they heated it up 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. Matter of fact, it slew the men a little bit later that was going to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down into that fiery furnace. And so they're standing there. And I want you to listen to what they said, the courage. They said, "If it be so," I'm going to get verse 16. Verse 15, he said, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter." He said, "We don't have to think about it. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to ponder it. We're just going to go ahead and give you the answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not..." He said, "Listen, I just want you to know, our God's able, if He desires to, He can deliver us from that fiery furnace. He's going to deliver us out of your hand, one way or another. But if not, if we don't come through the burning fiery furnace, we just want to put you on notice, be it known to thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. We're not going to bend, we're not going to bow, and we're not going to blend in with the society." Listen, it doesn't take much of a man to go with the flow, but it'll take take some courage to cut against the grain, to stand up for Jesus Christ, to be the man God wants you to be. Here was three young men faced with a fiery furnace, or just to bow before an idol. Hey, no big deal. You don't have to do it all the time. You don't have to worship. Just one time, bow. And they said, listen, we're just going to let you know something. We're not going to do it. We're not afraid of you, King. We've got a God who's more important to us, to whom we're going to be faithful, and we're not going to worship you. We're not going to worship your gods. We're just going to let you be on notice right now. We're going to stand for God. And you know what we need to do, men? We need to say to our nation, we're not going to bend to the pressure. We're not going to bow before the idols of America. And we're going to take a stand for our God come what may. That's what America needs. That's what made our nation great in the 1700s. That's what made our nation great throughout its history. And listen, that's what's going to make our nation great today. If you're looking to Washington, D.C. to America great, make America great, you're looking in the wrong direction. You need to be looking toward heaven. And I'm not trying to belittle the ideas of our government. I'm not trying to do that. I appreciate the way the president wants to make America great. But you just understand that that's not where it's going to come from. It's going to come from people like you and me that determine we're going to be God's kind of people. That's where America becomes great again. Making an impact on the job and in our communities by being Christians that honor God and live for Him and leading our families the way we should. I'm going to give you the last thing and I'm done. We need to be men with deep commitment. Challenged our church in January about being a church of commitment. Our theme for this year is committed. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That I'm to love God with everything that's in me. I'm to love Him with every fiber of my being. I'll be honest with you, I don't love God like I ought to all the time. But I sure want to. I want to be a man, and I think we ought to be men, if we're going to be faithful men, to be men of deep commitment. Joshua in Joshua 24:15 said to a group of Israelites that day, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose unto you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I can't answer for you. I can't make a decision for you and your house, your family. All I can do is tell you what we're going to do. And the best of my ability, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and mine. Fellas, don't leave it up to your wife to do all the spiritual training in your family. Be a faithful man. Be a man that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It shouldn't be mom and kids coming to church and you coming every once in a while. They shouldn't have to say, hey, Dad, you coming to church with us today? It ought to just be automatic. Dad ought to be the leader of the band. He ought to be the one out in front. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a question. I never woke up and said, are we going to church? It was not a question. We were going. Unless it had snowed so deep we couldn't get out of the driveway, or we were sick, we were in church. Vacation maybe once or twice a year. We were at our church. Have a family altar. Read the Bible and pray. When's the last time your kids saw you read the Bible? When's the last time they saw you bow your head and pray? When did they see God being real in your life? Fellas, let's be committed to our God. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. I can't say it for you. I can't. You have to determine what it's going to be in your life. You have to determine whether you're going to be a faithful man. Whether it's going to be you and your family, best you know how to live for God. But isn't our God worthy? Isn't He worthy of that? Look what He's done for us. Isn't He worthy of us being the kind of men God wants us to be? Being faithful to the Lord. That's first. Everything flows out of that. When I'm right with God, then I'm going to be right with my wife, my children, on the job, out in the world. Everything flows out of my relationship to Him. And if I'll start there in a deep commitment to God, not being a perfect man, not saying I will never fail or make mistakes or mess up or not be everything we ought to be all the time, we ought to be striving in that direction. That's what faithful men are. Hey, when we fall, we get up and keep on going for God. That's what it is. Faithful to our companion and to our children. Quit you like men. Being faithful to love your wife. To nourish and nurture her as the Lord of the church. To be thankful for what God's given you. The Bible said that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And fellas, I'm going to tell you, if God's given you a wife that wants to love the Lord and live for Him, you ought to be thankful for that. You're not having to wonder where she's at or who she's with or what she's doing. You ought to thank God for her and be committed to her and committed to your children to invest in them. Real men choose to keep their promises, are fair, firm, and friendly in exercising discipline, make time to play with their children, cry with the hurting and brokenhearted, admit their mistakes and say, "I'm sorry," are faithful to their wives and love Jesus with all their heart and seek to obey His Word. That's what faithful men do. Dear God, my little boy of 3 has said his nightly prayer to Thee. Before his eyes were closed in sleep, he asked that Thou his soul would keep. And I, still kneeling at his bed, my hand upon his tousled head, do ask with deep humility that Thou, dear Lord, remember me. Make me kind, Lord, a worthy dad, that I may lead this little lad in pathways ever fair and bright, that I may keep his steps aright. Oh God, his trust may never be destroyed or even marred by me. So for the simple things he prayed, with childish voice so unafraid, I trembling ask the same from Thee, dear Lord. Kind Lord, remember me. Fellas, I don't think there could be a greater epitaph that they could write atop the tombstone of our life if the Lord doesn't come than these words. He was a faithful man. I don't think there's anything greater than that. Nothing better. He was a faithful man. That says it all. For anybody that's saved, when they read that, that would say it all. Faithful man. God, in 2017, in a nation that sorely needs it, a society that's broken and backward and going the wrong way, is looking for a generation of men here at Calvary Baptist Church to just say, I want to be a faithful man. Would you join with me today and just determine to be that kind of man? Would you be willing to take the step forward? I'm not just trying to get a crowd, but I'm talking about from your heart. Just bow right before this altar and say, God, I'm determining today, best I know how, to be a faithful man. To be the kind of man my family needs me to be, my country needs me to be, my church needs me to be, that you want me to be. That's what God desires. Hey, we're going to fail, fellas. We're going to make some mistakes. We're not going to be perfect at it. We ought to be striving every day of our lives to be the kind of man God wants us to be. Can I encourage you to do that? And can I tell you, you can't be the faithful man until first of all you're a saved man. And Jesus loves you. The man among men loves you. Died for you. He wants to save you today. Doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, what we're about. He loves us, died for us, and wants to save us. And I'm going to invite you in a moment, if you don't have the assurance in your heart, if you died you'd go to heaven, to come and let another man who met the Lord take a Bible and from the Bible do for you what somebody did for us one day and show us how to be saved so that you can receive Christ as we did. Can I be honest with you? There's nothing good about me today. Not a thing. If there's anything good about Kevin Broyhill, it's what Jesus Christ has done for me. What He's done for me, He can do for you. I'm going to invite you to come to know Him today. I'm going to beg you to come to know Him today. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Some of you, you've been battling with this thing maybe for years. Why don't you settle it this morning? And you know, I've been preaching to men. God's looking for faithful women too, faithful ladies. Maybe God's burdened your heart today. Maybe you need to take that husband by the hand and say, I'll stand with you, honey. You stand, I'll stand. I'm right here with you. Maybe if you've never been saved, ma'am, you can come today and be saved. Father, take the message.